little bit about myself this morning. I've had the privilege of serving 28 years in the Christian Missionary Alliance in Elkford, British Columbia. Then we moved to North Battleford, Saskatchewan. Then came to Edmonton to Beverly Alliance. And then my last 5 years of full-time ministry were at Beulah Alliance. And now the last couple of years I've been spending doing business development for construction-related businesses and enjoying that very much. But I must say my biggest claim to fame is my 10-year-old granddaughter. That's where it's at. That's what I enjoy, spending time with her, watching her trying to catch more fish than her grandpa and things like that. You know, one thing I do collect is air miles. And if I had a few more air miles, I would love to send you, each of you, on an assignment. It would be this. I would want you to go to different churches throughout the world, and from your observations, give me an answer to this question. What is worship? Pretty straightforward question. At first you might say, well, that's pretty simple. But when you start your study, you may find this. In a large, beautiful church in Dallas, Texas, a man says to the congregation, let us now worship. And then he leads them in four very slow hymns. In a small storefront church in another city, the congregation sings loudly for 2 hours, and the music is punctuated by screams and prophecies and people falling to the floor. In a very old church in Moscow, the congregation stood silently throughout the long service, many of them often bowing deeply to the floor. In another church, there's not an instrument to be heard. The congregation sang a couple of unaccompanied songs. In a drive-in theater in California, the congregation was led by a large band, a loud band, loud enough to be heard in the next county while the service was on. In an online church, people are dozens of participants around the world are sitting at their computer screens and writing in the names of songs as acts of worship. After a few months of your travels, you send me an email. It says this. This is confusing. The worship is so different from place to place, yet I sense that the people are truly worshiping God. I'm wondering, would the people in the Dallas church be able to worship at the storefront church? Could the Moscow Christians be taught to worship with the online church? And you ask for an extension. Could I use a few more of your air miles? I would like to just go to those churches again and not only observe, but this time I would like to actually interview some of them after their services. I'm not surprised. Request is granted and away you go. Well, you meet a couple as they leave the Dallas church and you say, what do you like about your worship here at your church? Oh, we have a great choir. They always sing my favorite hymns. The minister of music is a great person and he picks hymns that really convey the gospel message. Then you meet with some young people coming out of the rock concert style service. And their answer is, the worship here is awesome. It makes me feel so close to God. I just close my eyes during worship, and it's like I can imagine Jesus is just wrapping his arms around me. It's amazing. As you interview more people, you soon discover that most seem to like the way their church worships. They also seem to think that that is the way the church worships. You also discovered that if you suggested to them other expressions of worship that you found in other churches around the world, you might get responses of amazement, or you might also get responses of disgust. No true Christian could worship God by shouting and falling to the ground. Stand there and not say a word? Sounds like a cult. Only dead churches sing those songs. No church should ever use that music. You submit your conclusion. It reads like this. Using this method of observation and interview, I have not discovered what worship is. Rather, I've discovered that there are millions of Christians around the world who love Jesus Christ very much. Now, there's a valid discovery. Yet they do not worship God in the same way that we do. Indeed, though they worship him in many different ways, many dislike the way others worship God. Most of the people I met like to worship God only when they are in a large group, preferably when it is led by an energetic leader. Very few of them take time to worship when they're alone. Now, this particular tendency may result from a confusion that's happened between what is worship and what is worship music. In fact, many Christians seem to equate worshiping the Lord with simply singing a Christian song. And for most, the only time they're consciously worshiping is when they're singing songs about God, and when the song stops, the worship stops. What's the end result? Well, my air miles are used up. Number two, you've had a world tour. And number three, we still have no definition or understanding of what worship is. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we want to acknowledge that you are present here with us. We thank you for that you've left the Holy Spirit, who is the great teacher. And I would ask that your Holy Spirit would teach us and that you would find in us a proper response. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like you to take the little insert that's in your bulletin, and at the top of it, I would like you to write out, you won't be showing this to others, this is just something I'd like you to have in front of you as we walk through this, is I'd like you to write out, what is your definition of worship? Take a minute, I'll take a little drink and let you write down, what is your definition of worship? When you use that word, what does it mean? It's not the easiest thing to write down, is it? Maybe it is for you. I don't know. But how do we know if we have worshipped? Praising God is part of that. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Actually, what I'd like to ask you is, what are some of the things that we can do that would be considered to be worship? Singing praises. We'll take a look at a few more in a bit here. You see, I believe that as we grow in our understanding and experience of worship, it's going to enhance our ability as a church to fulfill the mission that God has given us. And today I hope we can come to some basic understandings of what worship is. How often have you heard the statement that the Sunday morning service should really be a culmination of a week of private worship? Have any of you heard that before? Should be the culmination? Okay, just a couple of you. Well, what is private worship? Often we call our Sunday morning service a worship service. Is that what we are doing today? Have we and are we worshiping? And if it isn't, what's the point? I believe that what we discover from the Bible about worship will directly impact our personal lives and it will impact our services. Psalm 100 verse 2 says, "Worship the Lord with gladness, come before him with joyful songs." So we see there's a connection. Joyful songs, there's songs is connected to worship. Singing is connected to worship, absolutely. Exodus 23 verse 25, "Worship the Lord your God and his blessing will be on your food and water." Did you get that? That's amazing. If you worship God, there's going to be a blessing from God into your life. It's very simple. Do you want blessings from God? Worship. It says it right there in Exodus 23. Let's take a look at chapter 4, starting at verse 19. Here the woman is speaking to Jesus. She says, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said, "Believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and get this, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. To be a true worshiper, to be a worshiper of God, that is the kind of person God is looking for. If you have a question as to what is God's will for my life, right there. To be a worshiper of him. God definitely wants us to worship him. And I don't believe the excuse that we might give of, well, you know, God, the reason I don't worship you as much is because I really don't know what it is. I don't know how to worship. I don't think that will cut it. So therefore, it's important for us to learn, what does it mean to worship? I'd like to give you a suggested definition you can write down if you like. There's different ways of wording it, but this is just one suggestion for you. Worship is expressing love to God for who he is, what he says, and what he does. It's expressing love to God for who he is, what he says, and what he does. So there's all kinds of things that can be involved in that. We could put all of the activities that we have in our life. Let's see if we can put them into categories and see which of those activities could be slotted in with worship. First one is holy actions. Generally, those are actions that are associated with worship, things that we might find ourselves doing in a service. You see, they're called holy because they're set apart. Holy does not just have the idea behind its meaning of like perfection and righteous and good. It also means to be set apart. God refers to you as his children as being holy, right? Yeah? No? Yes. Okay, good, good. He does. Now, do you believe that you are holy? That wasn't very confident. God said it. I think it's true that you're holy. And why? You say, well, the reason we fight back on that is because, well, we know what we did last week. We know what we said this morning. And that can't be holy. No, holy also means to be set apart for a purpose. Isn't that cool? You've been set apart from God for a very specific purpose. That's pretty powerful. Second type of actions that we can be participating in are commonplace actions, which may or may not be done in the spirit of worship. And thirdly, there's evil actions we can participate in during which no worship of God can happen. This is when you're committing sins, okay? There's just no way it can be affiliated with worship. So we can conclude that worship cannot take place in that third category, and worship may occur in the second category. Second category is things like walking the dog, doing your job, washing dishes, driving the car, those things. Those worship may occur while we're doing those, but that depends on the individual at the given moment. But what about that first category? Does performing a worshipful activity automatically make it worship? No. No. See, are we always worshiping God while we're singing at church or praying? No, we're not. We have to admit that it doesn't always happen. You see, we can be praying sincerely one moment and at the same time thinking about the stock market. We can be, have you ever had this happen? You're reading the Bible. You're reading away. And also, about 5 minutes later, you realize, man, I read 3 pages and I don't know what I read. My mind was somewhere else. It happens. You see, we have to try to keep our focus on the Lord at such times. And you know what's going to happen? As we mature as Christians, as we grow as Christians, we will also see growth in this area of our lives, where there will be less and less times where we're distracted while we're involved in a worshipful activity. Now, that doesn't excuse, of course, if there's a lapse in concentration on what we're doing, if it's concentrating on something that leads to sinful actions. You see, it's one thing for a man to find himself contemplating his busy schedule while he's singing a worship song in the service. It's quite another if he finds himself contemplating sinful plans while he's singing, "How Great Thou Art." There's a difficulty there. Well, what's the point? It's this. No actions we perform, even the most religious, will guarantee that we're truly worshiping. No activity, no matter how spiritual, how religious, that we can participate in will guarantee that we are worshiping. You see, it's not a matter of activity. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the mind and the heart. So we've seen it's possible for Christians to worship God while doing ordinary tasks like washing dishes. And it's possible for Christians not to worship God while doing things that are so directly related to worship like singing and praying. Again, the Lord doesn't condemn us for thoughts that are not specifically God related. Correct? Otherwise, how do you function? Okay? Now, in the story of the two sisters, Mary and Martha, Jesus did not rebuke the busy Martha for what she was doing around the house. The correction had to do with the inappropriate time she chose to do those activities. You see, later that evening, I'm sure the Lord enjoyed the meal and said thank you to her. But while he was teaching, the appropriate thing for her to do was to sit and listen. Fortunately for us, when we are not actually conscious of God, he is always conscious of us. Isn't that amazing? Even in those moments when we are not having any thoughts about God, he is conscious of us. That's amazing. That's comforting. That's strengthening, encouraging. On the other hand, if we spend all our time in ordinary tasks and never think about God, we're living a mistake. You see, the Bible contains many verses commanding us to set our hearts, our minds on him, on things above. Proverbs 3:6, I like that verse. It says, "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will set your path straight." Or some translations say, "And he will direct you." There's that blessing. Remember we talked earlier that if you worship God, there's a blessing in your life? Do you see that? If we acknowledge God, he will set my path straight. Can we put it this way? If I don't acknowledge God, I don't have him setting my path straight. I don't have him giving me direction. Do you find at times there's some parts of your life where you're going, "I don't know where this is going. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Who knows what it is." But how have we been at acknowledging God in that? It's part of all our ways. There comes a blessing where he directs us. He sets our path straight. That's amazing. So to not do it is living a mistake. It's missing out. So all worship must begin with an acknowledgement, a consciousness of God's presence. Well, how does this consciousness begin? How does that happen during a given day? It's Tuesday afternoon. How does that happen? Well, how does a conversation start between any two people? One of two ways, usually. One person starts the conversation or the other person starts the conversation. It's pretty simple how it can happen. In the same way, our consciousness of God can be initiated by him or can be initiated by ourselves. You see, when we decide to pray or sing praises or to read the Bible in a thoughtful way or to focus our thoughts on him, we are initiating God consciousness. Indeed, this is what the Bible tells us to continually do. Continually we are to do that. And by the same token, there's also countless times when God himself initiates it. This happens to me. I'll be driving down the road, and now with the trees changing color, I'll be admiring that. And out of his creation, God will initiate a conversation with me and have me start thinking thoughts about him. How many times have you been in the middle of something and suddenly, out of nowhere, it seems like out of nowhere, a Bible verse comes into your mind? Have you had that happen? What is that? That's God initiating a conversation with you. Jesus talked about that. He said that when he sends the Holy Spirit will remind his disciples of what he has said. Isn't that what he just did for us when he brings a scripture into our mind? Yeah. That's amazing. There's a third way in which God consciousness can be initiated. Just as a conversation between two people can be from either of them, there's also the possibility that they were brought together by a third party. That is, they could have been introduced to each other by an outside person or some outside force. This is exactly what happens to us on Sunday mornings. We may begrudgingly fall out of bed, stumble through our morning routine, drive to church. When we arrive, we're maybe a little bleary-eyed yet. We're about as God-conscious as our shoes are of God. We're not thinking anything about God. Then what happens? We hear the music being played. And that music draws our thoughts and our hearts and our minds to think about God. There's a third force, the music, the people on the team here. That's what they did this morning. They brought us to thinking about the presence of God. They brought us to be God conscious. That's a third party that does that for us. But there's a second thing that must happen. A simple God consciousness is not just enough. Or to be acknowledging that God is present isn't enough. That's not worship. It's essential, but it's not worship. You see, in James it says, you believe that there is one God? Good for you. So do the demons. And they shudder. So just knowing that there's a God is not worship. You see, what happens is, anyone can be aware of God, but it's what do we do with that awareness? What do we do with that consciousness? We're now driving down the road. God, in some way, has communicated with us. He's got our attention. What do I do now that he's communicating with me? I have two choices. Ignore him, or acknowledge him and respond in love and obedience to what he is saying. See, if we take that second step, at that moment, we put ourselves in a right relationship with God. This may result in some outward actions in our lives. We may reach for a musical instrument or forget the instrument. We may just start singing. We may sing a praise song. And if you're in the car by yourself, it doesn't matter. Except the guy beside. Mind you, nowadays he just thinks you're talking on the phone, doesn't he? So it doesn't matter. You can sing there too. We may take some time after we've heard from God where we just get into his word. Or we may get to work at the thing he's prompted us to do. Happened to me just this week at work. I didn't feel like doing what I was supposed to be doing. As a matter of fact, I didn't even feel like doing it well. I just felt like just getting it done and get it over with. And you know what? God initiated a conversation with me. He reminded me of some scriptures I had read earlier in the week, reminding me that when I'm working for my boss, I'm not just working for one boss. This thing that I'm doing it for him. So how would I like to work for him? What would I do for him? And the second one was, in the scriptures that also had told me earlier, and he reminded me of it, was this, that when I work for my boss, I need to work for him as hard as if he is in, whether he's in the room or if he's out of the room. Do you know God's word tells us that? He reminded me of that. So that afternoon, I had to make a choice. What am I going to do now? Well, I knew it was kind of ignorant to ignore that and say, stick it in your ear. I don't need that, God. No, you can't respond to him like that. Yet we do, don't we? We do at times. Rather, I chose to obey him, put my nose to the grindstone, do the task the way I was supposed to do, and get it done properly. Remember what we talked about? That when God prompts a conversation, we respond in love and obedience. And when we do, I don't know what it will be, but when we respond in worship, there's a blessing that comes into our life. There's a blessing that comes into our life. Or you know what might also happen once we've come into this point where we recognize that we've come to acknowledge during the day that God is present, and we're thinking about that. It may result just in inner manifestations. We may offer a prayer in the quietness of our heart. Or we may remember a favorite scripture. Or we may enjoy a moment of just quiet bliss and simply sitting still and enjoying the fact that he is God and we are his child. Either way, it's worship. Worshiping God is not a matter of singing or praying or doing. It's what happens when we become God conscious and we make a right response. Does that sound too simple? This is what God is looking for in you and me this week. He's looking for worshipers.